Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
All right. Hello, hello, hello. All right. So I'm going to start recording in like... Okay. You ready?
Yep.
All right. I'm just going to do like a little intro thing.
Okay.
Okay. Hi there, my name is Ian Duncan, and welcome back to our podcast series about education and all things surrounding it. Today on our podcast, I have the lovely Jennifer Murphy, who is my aunt, and she is a high school counselor. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hello, everyone. Yes, as Ian indicated, I am formally trained as a school counselor, although my current role is overseeing all of the special education department and the school counseling department at the school that I work. This is my second year in that role. I was the director of school counseling for 15 years until they merged these two positions into one. So now I oversee both departments.
Very nice. Let's dive right into some questions about what you think makes education more engaging, more fun, more exciting. So first off, what do you think makes learning enjoyable for most high school students that you find?
Well, a couple of things. I think probably one of the most important things is that the teachers in the school are passionate about their job, their content area, and kids. Because if the teacher is not, then, you know, that makes lessons somewhat boring. The energy that a teacher brings into the classroom can be infectious and even get the most disengaged kids to be part of learning. I think also, instead of just reading out of books and having the teacher lecture solely is not the most engaging way to get kids to learn the content. So, for example, in a geometry class, instead of a teacher standing at the board and going over theorems or, you know, different equations of triangles or, you know, octagons, I think a teacher who really wants students to learn the content will find that in addition to teaching, you know, giving some instruction, also turning that into a real life example. So like building things. So for example, we have at my school a construction trades program where students build tiny houses and then sell them. Yeah. So, you know, combining the construction trades program and a geometry class, the students in geometry can learn, you know, with their hands as well as having the background knowledge about, you know, how to measure and cones and, you know, rectangles and all that area. And, you know, basically by making a real life world experience, you know, translating that into something real instead of just staring at a book or, you know, listening to a teacher talk in front of the class. Another example, we have one of our career tech programs is tied into NASA. Yes, the people
That's
that
crazy.
Go up into space, yes. And we've had students make actual things that go up into space at our school. So I think the first project that students were asked to do from NASA was to build pens that would work in space. So, you know, you can't just take a regular pen because of gravity and space, the ink would not, you know, come out on paper. So
yeah.
they needed to develop, you know, how they could make a pen that would work in space. And so now you're talking science, you're talking welding, you're talking, you know, machining to build these pens. Another example, they were responsible for building like the handlebars that are all throughout the space capsule so that, you know, they can walk along holding on to these bars or railings and not float off into space. So that kind of instruction really helps kids understand that, you know, what they're learning really has some real life application. And certainly engages them into learning it through these various projects.
I totally agree. I feel like, especially what you were saying earlier, that sometimes, at least in my personal experience, there's been a teacher in a classroom who just keeps yapping on and on about something that kind of just ultimately leaves you with nothing and you feel like you didn't get anything out of it. So I agree. I think having someone who's interested in what they're teaching is very valuable.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So I want to bring up a little New York Times article that I found interesting. It's
okay.
called What Students Are Saying About How to Improve American Education. This was published back in 2019. And this was a survey of 300 students. Talking about their opinions on their education. And basically what they said is create better learning environments, give teachers more money and support, make lessons more engaging, and essentially praise great teachers for doing great work. The interesting part that I find personally is increase the pay grade for teachers within all that. Yeah, what do you make of that, and how do you think that ultimately those things can improve education as a whole?
Well, interesting that that article probably was before COVID.
Yes, 2019.
Yeah. 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 So I think a lot of things have, you know, shifted since then. But I guess I'll start by saying that, you know, no teacher goes into education thinking that they're going to become a millionaire. They hopefully get into education because they care about kids. They care about kids learning whatever content they find interesting. So, you know, I guess that is the basis. Does everybody want to make more money? I think, of course. I think also that because of COVID, I think that there are more staff who feel like education has really changed and that a lot more is being asked of teachers on a day-to-day basis just because of the kids that are showing up in front of them. They have maybe more gaps in their learning because of COVID. I think they have more mental health issues that they're coming to class with. And I think the job of teaching has gotten harder. And because of that, I think there is more push
less engagement within the classroom?
Well, yeah, on the kids' part, but in regards to, like, teacher salary, I think teachers are feeling just overwhelmed and that they're doing more, and because they're doing more, I think there's a groundswell of, you know, unions wanting to increase teacher pay because of this. They're, you know, just in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and Beverly, Massachusetts, just this week, I believe, both of those towns, their teachers went on strike. advocating for more pay, not just for teaching staff, but for support staff, and you know, just looking to be compensated fairly for the taxing work of being a teacher.
I think those things are really telling. I totally agree. All right, I have one last question for you.
Okay.
How important do you think it is for students to have a voice in their own learning, and how can schools encourage that?
I think student voice is very important. I think that teachers should create lessons around whatever content it is that they're trying to teach the students, but within that unit or lesson, they should allow for varying ways for students to show demonstration of learning. So, you know, for some kids, it's, you know, writing a paper. For other students, it's, you know, doing a presentation. For another student, maybe it's writing poetry, or, you know, so giving students options within, you know, what the standards are per
giving some student autonomy, kind of.
Yeah. So like, if the English assignment is about learning about character development, well, like, let the student choose what book, you know, that they want to read to learn that. It doesn't all have to be the same book. And maybe a student would choose to read a book that is more interesting to them because it is about, I don't know, winter, you know? Yeah, I think student choice and voice is vitally important. I think, though, to balance that out, what my school has learned is that giving too many options is almost, it hinders, it's detrimental to students because it's too much to choose from. So finding that happy balance between providing choice and voice and yet not limiting the what those choices are, I think is helpful for kids.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me on this lovely episode of our podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
No problem. And we will see you in the next episode.
Awesome.